Hey guys, welcome back to the Scott's Morning Show. Today is Wednesday, November 28th, 2018, and it is Albanian Flag Day. So if you don't got one, you better go get one. It's time to celebrate. Yeah, we actually have a flag store by our house, and this fucking store, man, it's right on the boulevard next to the Brigham Young, Brigham Many College over there. Like, right on the boulevard. It's next to this comic shop we like to go to, and I have no idea how the hell they can sell enough flags for the space rent on that building. I mean, this is the biggest comic shop we've ever been to, and this flag store is the exact same size. That space rent must be astronomical. But you guys don't care about that. Let's jump into some birthdays. First up, this is going to be the History of Christmas Part 2 episode. So if you haven't heard Part 1, I would definitely go check that out. It goes into pretty much the Christian religion and all other religions that came before and after and how they are connected to astrology. So before you just dismay the whole idea, check it out and then you can argue with me later. This is the fucking like fifth time I've done this goddamn podcast. I finished it the last time. It was a damn good one. I was happy with it. And my phone freaked out again, and okay, let's go. The sixth time I'm trying this. It's getting some birthdays here. Ed Harris, turning 68. He was the director in The Truman Show. You remember that movie? He was also in Apollo 13 and Stepmom. He was in a bunch of movies. I used to see this guy all the time, even when I was a kid. Next up, we got Judd Nelson, turning 59 today. This guy's been in a bunch of movies. The only one I've ever seen was Airheads. But he was in Santa Jr., Cancel Christmas, and Last Chance Holiday. So that might be interesting to check out. Got some new Christmas movies there. I've never seen any of them, but I did. I was scrolling through Netflix yesterday, and I saw a new Tim Allen Christmas movie. And I swear to God, dude, this dude, he's probably done more Christmas media than anyone ever. Like, period. End of discussion. This dude's been in so much Christmas shit, he should win an award. He was the Santa Claus in all three Santa Claus. He was in Christmas with the Cranks. I'm pretty sure he was in another Christmas movie besides that. And then you gotta think of all the Last Man Standings and Home Improvements that did Christmas episodes. Like, shit, this dude's been in a ton of Christmas-related shit. It's crazy. But let's jump back into some birthdays here. We've got Karen Gillian, turning 31 today. So she's as old as my wife, a year younger than me, and probably doing a fuckload better in life, seeing as how she was Nebula in both of the Guardians Against the Galaxy movies. And then she played Martha in the new Jumanji, which was actually pretty good. I didn't really like the first one, but that one was actually pretty good. So, hold on a sec. I got to blow my nose, and then we'll get back into it. Okay, we're back. Yeah, I'm just getting over being sick. So, like, I'm getting better, but my mucus and shit's all dried up and sticking all over the place in my nose. So, I'm sure you guys wanted to hear that. Don't lie to yourself. You know you did. Let's jump into some history here. We got 1814 in London. The first steam-powered printing press went into production, and they printed the Times. So I hope they had a lot, you know, some really good ventilation, because steam-powered and paper doesn't seem like a very good idea, but who am I to say? Let's jump into the next one here. And this one's funny. So in 1895, the first U.S. car race was held. So this was a 54-mile race from Jackson Park to Evanston, Illinois. The winner was Frank Durian. It was, okay, so you're driving 54 miles, you're on the freeway, it takes around an hour. Probably less than an hour, but around an hour, right? How long do you think this car race took? The fastest time in this car race, how long do you think that took? 10 hours! You could walk 54 miles in 10 hours. Like, holy shit, how did you see a car, and this thing's like, got those statistics, and then you got a horse, and it's like, Man, that thing can shit and walk faster than that car can move. Like, and it wasn't a race. That was like a, let's see who can make it there without breaking down first type of deal. I don't know, man. That's crazy. And Wikipedia gets this shit wrong. So it might have been different. But that's what it says. 54-mile race in 10 hours. So let's jump back into some history. We got 1908, 154 men die in a mine explosion in Mariana, Pennsylvania. There was one survivor, so one out of 155. That dude must have felt like one lucky son of a bitch. We got even worse news. 1942, the Coconut Grove nightclub in Boston caught fire, killing 492 people. So, obviously, you know, I mean, there's a big enough building to hold all those people, but it's probably really shitty exits. I mean, they probably wouldn't pass fire code today, so. So then we jump to 1979 here. We got New Zealand Flight 901. This was a charter flight, so it was just sightseeing over Antarctica, and then it crashed into Mount Erebos, killed everyone on board, all 257 people, so that's pretty shitty. But 1987, South Africa Air Flight 295 crashed and killed all 159 people on board. So I know this is probably a sour subject to get into every day, like right before Christmas time, you know, these plane crashes and stuff. But realistically, I mean, you've got more of a chance of getting into a car crash than a plane crash. How many car crashes have you been in? I've been in, what, two by myself driving and one with my friend. That's three. Ah, you'll be fine. You guys will be fine. Cars crash, planes crash. I mean, let's jump into some other. Oh, no, we're right back into plane crashes. 2016, Lamia Flight 2933 crashed, killing 71 out of 77 people on board. So those six that made it, man, ooh, I don't know what it would be like to survive something like that. I'm sure they were at least hospitalized. Yeah, there aren't any friendly plane crashes. Let's jump into, okay, we're done with history. Let's get into our main topic today. So like I said earlier, if you haven't listened to part one, I would definitely go back and listen to it. So we compare astrology to the virgin birth, the death and crucifixion, the resurrection, 12 disciples, dying on the cross, and being born on December 25th. Now that is the most important part of today's episode, and I will do a little recap about being born on December 25th here in a little bit. But like I said, we linked it to astrology, but now we need to know which holiday the Christians ripped off. So we're going to look at Saturnalia, and we'll go into why they ripped off Saturnalia. But first, Saturnalia was the Roman festival where they honored the god Saturn. It ran from December 17th to December 23rd on the Julian calendar. We're on the Gregorian calendar now. It does make it to December 25th. We'll get into all this later. But Saturn, he was the god of the unconquerable sun. He was a solar deity. He was the sun god. And this was a festival of lights that brought them into the new year. So during this festival, they would have an abundance of lit candles, and this symbolized the quest for truth and knowledge, and it also showed respect to the fire god Saturn. It was customary for people to give gifts on this during this holiday, or holy day, whichever you want to say. And all work, schools, and courts were canceled. And in place of that, people would sing, play music, they would gamble, socialize, feast. It was like a carnival. I mean, it was pretty crazy, adults-only crazy shit, you know what I'm saying? That they were kids there back in the day. But even the slaves didn't work on this holiday. So on this holiday, they would pick the leader of Saturnalia, and he would be considered the Lord of Chaos. So unlike Roman rule and organization, during this festival, they honored chaos and mischief. So they would have somebody be, you know, in charge of the chaos for each house. And when they would pick this person, they would pick the person of the lowest stature. So, you know, it'd be a student, the kids, whatever. It would be, even the slaves would be chosen as the head, the lord of chaos for the week there. And then they would bring evergreen trees in. We'll get into that a little later. There was some other stuff happening in Saturnalia, but let's get back to it. So we know this holiday is around the same time as Christmas, but that doesn't really make it Christmas, so let's put two and two together. It all starts with Constantine. Constantine was the Roman emperor from 306 to 337 AD. He was the one in the year 313 AD that issued the Edict of Milan, and this gave more religious freedom. This allowed Christians to be able to worship in their Christian way. I mean, this was like the breaking point for Christianity right here. And fucking Constantine went on to organize the first council in Nicaea. He became the first Roman emperor that was a Christian. Later on his deathbed, he had a dream and fucking saw that Jesus was real and he was baptized and all this crazy nonsense. But we're not going to get into all that. So over the next 10 years, from 313 AD to 323 AD after death, Christianity became more popular. It sort of was growing more popular than the pagan religion of the time. You know, they'd worship the sun god, Saturn, but they also worshiped a whole bunch of other gods. But the biggest problem with with Christianity taking over any religion, even we'll get into it in the next episode when we're in like more modern times, is people don't want to get rid of their fucking festivals. They don't want to get rid of their holidays. They can get rid of their government, they can get rid of their religion, but they don't want to give away the one time a year that they get to be happy, right? So the Christians had to find a way to adopt a holiday at the same time the Romans were celebrating Saturnalia, and we will get into that. I almost dropped my phone here. Okay, kind of had to back up there for a minute. I don't really remember where we were, but I'm going to jump into, the Christians are trying to adopt the holiday that the pagans are celebrating because they're trying to convert these pagans, and they need a way for the pagans to not lose their festival, so they want to come to the religion. So let's go in and see what the Bible is saying about this first. We're going to go into Jeremiah 10, 2 through 4. Thus say the Lord, learn not the way of the nations, nor be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, because the nations are dismayed at them. For the customs of people are vanity. A tree from the forest is cut down and worked with an axe by the hands of a craftsman. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with a hammer and nails so it cannot move. So let's look at the first part of this. Thus say the Lord, learn not the way of the nations. So don't follow the way of the pagans. Nor be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, because the nations are dismayed at them. So don't pay attention to the astrological bullshit that the pagans are talking about. For their customs of the people are vanity, right? Okay, so then we get into a tree from the forest is cut down, worked with an axe by the hands of a craftsman. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with a hammer and nails so it cannot move. So this is basically talking about tree worship. And Saturnalia was not the only holiday that was celebrated with bringing evergreen trees into the house. The Celts did it. The Nordic tribes did it. A lot of Christmas came from the Nordic tribes with Yule time, Yule logs, all this other stuff. But why did they bring these trees into the house during Saturnalia? During pretty much the winter solstice. That's when all these holidays are taking place. They're representing the winter solstice. Well, during that time, the nights are the longest. It's darker more than it is the rest of the year. Everything's died. It's after the harvest. Everything's died. It's cold and miserable outside, but the only things that are living are these evergreen trees. So they bring these evergreen trees into their houses. And I mean, they're basically like showing it respect. Like, look at this thing. Out of everything outside, this thing lives the whole year. This thing lives through the darkness. It lives through the death. This is a symbol of life. And I mean, realistically, you know, I mean, that's to the most extreme, you know, religious trying to find meaning in everything. How many of us have houseplants? You know what I'm saying? How many of us bring houseplants in because the shit wouldn't live outside, but it's nice to have plants in your house. It makes you happier. It keeps you from being depressed all goddamn winter long, right? Yeah, I don't know. But like I said, Saturnalia wasn't the only one doing this. It was pretty much all pagan religions would bring these trees in. But let's get back into the Bible here. So we got Jeremiah 3:13. However, you must confess that you have done wrong and that you have rebelled against the Lord your God. You must confess that you have given yourself to foreign gods under every green tree and have not obeyed my commands, say the Lord. So we're definitely seeing that tree worship is bad. Bringing these trees in is, you know, frowned upon on the Bible. It's a pagan practice. The Bible wants nothing to do with it. It is the one true religion, right? They're trying to discredit all these other religions. Realistically, the Christmas tree is a newer thing. We'll get into that later. So we're not even going to look at the tree parts here. We're just looking at the fact that God is telling you not to follow in the way of man, to follow in the way that these pagans are following. So let me find my place here. But let's talk about this Christmas tree here. So this, like I said, it was a recent creation, and it came from Germany, the Yule Festival. We already talked about this. The Christmas tree was only popularized in 1846, and it was popularized because there was a sketch of Prince Edward and Queen Victoria put into the London News, so the local newspaper. You know, and Prince Edward was Queen Victoria's son from a German king. Like, this was Germany coming in. You see this Christmas tree, you're a person in England, and you're like, well, that obviously means, you know, stature. That's what rich people have. I want that. We're not going to talk about that right now. We're going to talk about the birth, right? So to talk about the birth, we have to do our recap now. We have to get into astrology, right? So we have the 21st of December through the 24th of December. This is the time. So up until the 21st, the sun has been rising a little bit more south every day, right? So the nights are getting longer. And then on the 21st to the 24th of December, if you are marking where the sun rises, it looks like it rises in the same exact place for those 3 days, right under the Southern Cross constellation. So you have this sun that's dying, right? It's coming out less and less during the day. It's dying. We're going into winter. We're going into death. And then it stops under the Southern Cross, and it stays there for 3 days. And then it's reborn. It's birthed. It gives life. It moves north just a little bit on the 25th. This is when all of the solar religions believed that their sun god was born, because these were myths that went with astrological teachings, right? So we have the sun being born on the 25th. It's coming back. It's going to bring longer days. It's moving back towards the time of summer and growth and heat. And less winter, longer days, shorter nights. So that's when they celebrated Saturn, the birth of Saturn, right? He was a solar deity. He was born on the 25th. And this was the religious aspect of Saturnalia. So now you have this Christian religion that is trying to adopt these pagan festivals so they can get followers. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, let's get these people away from worshiping the sun god over here, and we'll get him worshiping the son of God over here. And that's basically how it all starts, right? You got the sun god who is born on December 25th. Well, why not have the son of God born on December 25th? There's nowhere in the Bible that says that Jesus was born on December 25th. I've went through this so many times. Bethlehem, if you look at Bethlehem, let me find here. So Bethlehem is thought to have been 45 miles northeast of Gaza City and 47 miles west of Amman, Jordan, right? I want you to check your weather app on December 25th, or look at the weather in that region, on that mountain, for the last 100 years and see how cold it is. We'll get into why Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, and this isn't just something fucking non-Christians believe, this is something most Christians believe. But, so we've got this solar deity that used to be worshipped, and now we're worshipping the Son of God, right? We're going to get him in there, worship our God, and we'll deal with the paganistic festivals later. We're going to meld that shit all different, you know, all later, so it goes more with our Christian faith. But for right now, we have them coming into Mass on Christmas. They're celebrating the Mass. They're going to the Mass and celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Man, this episode, the last one was perfect. I'm getting all twisted around here, but just bear with me, guys. So where are we going? Let's jump to Luke 2, 7 through 8. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, right? So this is verse 7. Then verse 8 says, because there was no room for them in the inn. Oh no, this is the start of birth. Verse 8. That was the rest of verse 7. I'm getting all fucked up. So verse 8 starts, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping over watch of their flock by night. Right? There are no fucking shepherds out in the dead of winter, watching their sheep at night. They bring them all in. They always have. They always will. I mean, they still do to this day. It's fucking freezing cold next to Gaza City in the dead of winter. It's just is what it is. Most Christians, they all believe Jesus was born nowhere near December 25th. If you try to look that shit up, when Christians believe, I mean, they get these algorithms through how many words, and they're counting shit in the Bible and fucking reading these other texts that fucking Catholic saints wrote and all this other crazy shit, and they'll believe that it's spring, fall, summer, you know, Jesus was born in all these different days, but that most of them can agree he was born nowhere fucking near December 25th. Okay, so now we know that the reason Jesus' birthday is on December 25th is because Christians were trying to convert pagans and they took place of their son, God. So this is basically how we went from Saturnalia to the Mass of Christ. Christmas. Christmas. And then Christmas, you know, this gets back into the same thing. Halloween and Hallows Eve, All Hallows Eve, like all this shit. It was just, I mean, that's just bad pronunciation. You had fucking 20 different cultures living in this country all trying to speak the same language and they screw things up. But, yeah, that pretty much does it there. So we went over how astrology is, how religion is based off of astrology in part one. Part two, we went over how Christians got Christmas from Saturnalia. And then coming up, we're going to talk about, I mean, there's a big thing where the Christians and the Catholics divide, right? So at this point in time, we're talking Constantine, back when Saturnalia was still a thing. The Christians and Catholics, it wasn't a different sect. You know what I'm saying? You have this whole religion being formed, and then it breaks off into Catholicism and Orthodox Christianity. And then we'll get into that. Sorry, I had a phone call there. But then when we get to America, we're going to talk about how Christmas was fucking, it was banned, right? I mean, you weren't allowed, you would get fined for celebrating Christmas. Hold on a second. Okay, yeah, man, this episode's getting all twisted around here. So, we were talking basically about how you'd get fined for celebrating Christmas in America. You know, they came over here for religious freedom. That's why they came over here to America. That's bullshit. They came over here to get away from Catholicism. I mean, they were all fucking Protestant. You know, they're Orthodox Christians. They want nothing to do with all this paganic bullshit that Catholics are doing. You know, they got the fucking Hail Marys, and they're doing the cross on the chest, and they're worshiping saints and Mary, and, you know, the whole thing. Like, they just wanted to get away from Catholicism. So that'll be probably an entire episode on itself. But then we basically get into modern day Christmas, and, I mean, like, it's, you get into A Christmas Carol, like, just that story alone, the Charlie Brown Christmas. There was a picture done by Nash that was of Santa Claus. Like, all of these things play a huge part in what Christmas is today. You know what I'm saying? And this is, like, this is what we consider Christmas. 100 years ago, this would be unrecognizable. You know what I'm saying? It would be recognizable, but it would be way different. So I'm thinking 2 more episodes on the history of Christmas, And then you should have the whole story. So I hope you liked this episode. I know it was all over the place. Please like, share, and subscribe. Leave a comment, too. Good one. Yeah, that's right. Took a lot of time. And come follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ScottHay86. I won't be back to you with the rest of the Christmas story tomorrow, but I will be back with you with some news tomorrow. And I think, I don't know. I gotta see if I get totally over this cold, and if we stay here, I think I'm gonna try to read the whole Christmas Carol. So, we'll see. I don't know. I'm not making any promises, but they'll probably definitely be a next year thing, at least. So, you guys have a good day. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take it easy.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.